For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast, recorded live in the BHP studios, Detroit, Michigan, with your host, Team BHP.
Hello, and welcome to BowHunterPlanet.com podcast. This is myself, Dave Thomas, along with Brian Bauer, Jamie Noboom, and Chris McGee. And today we got someone special on this show for you guys, Michael Hunsucker from Heartland Hunter, which we're actually watching right now in the background as we do this, and you can probably hear it, but it's extremely incredible video production. These guys, I mean, everything we've seen from has been pretty sweet over the years, and we don't have Mike on just yet. We're going to get him on in a minute, but I thought it'd be a good idea to talk about it real quick before he gets on. But I think, you know, you guys know from filming and the footage we've done, it's so hard to get like high quality stuff, you know, and these guys seem to do it all the time. Oh, no problem.
I mean, there's very few shows that I, you know, religiously watch anymore, but I watch their stuff all the time. If anything, you know, they do a really good job hunting in that, but just the production value, you're just like, wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing when you see these. I mean, we have some really good cameras in our arsenal, but these guys
look at that
really, I know, look at this. The quality is just unbelievable. I almost feel like they should be just into making actual movies. I just feel like when you're this good, you know.
Cinematic.
Oh, I mean, look at that.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
This is, yeah. We're watching Full Strut Season 4. It's on Carbon TV. They have it on Vimeo. You can see the trailer here. HeartlandHunter.com and their Vimeo channel. Really, really impressive. I don't even know how you get shots like that, to be honest. Some of the drone stuff I see, though,
maybe
I mean, that's just...
Look at that.
He ain't going to tell us, but... Mike, you're going to tell us. We're going to get it out of you. Some of these drone shots are pretty impressive, and I would assume they're using... this could be a very high production drone, or it could even be like an Inspire 2.
The 4K?
Yeah, it's definitely 4K, but it might be like more raw. I think they shoot a lot in raw. I mean, look at that transition. That's not easy to do. Just incredible time lapses and moving video. I guess it's hard to think about how they get some of these shots, because I feel like a lot of times you're out there trying to get something like this and with a good camera, and it just doesn't seem to work out. But they seem to have the eye
they
for just
finding.
Yeah,
they just, have it
very
in.
Creative.
I mean, it's real fast paced, and it's really, you know, the editing's really unbelievable.
You know, as we've seen, it's very easy to get into the same thing where you're trying to do, you're almost doing the same exact thing for every video, and to get somebody in there with a different mindset to think of like driving over leaves and watching them fly up in slow motion. Okay. I would have never thought of that in a million years.
Yeah. You got to have an eye for it. I mean, this stuff's not like anything, you know, out there in my opinion. There's a lot of TV shows on TV, obviously. I don't know if there's any really match the quality of Heartland Hunter. What Mike has done and his team is just absolutely incredible. It's just a really...
makes you feel like you're there.
It makes you feel like you're there, but it's very... It's eye-appealing. You know, it really makes you feel like, wow, this
makes you
want to
watch
incredible,
more.
Incredible shots, you know. And my thing about this, though, is it really doesn't have anything to do with, like, oh, you know, you got to have more money or anything like that. It really has to do with you got to have
creativity.
The creativity with this. And
for sure.
With that can come money and things like that. I get that. But, like, you got to be very creative. And what these guys have done here with these videos are just absolutely ridiculous. Look amazing. So, hey, let's get Mike on the line and let's talk to him about these incredible videos and what he's got going here. So, why does your face look like that?
Why don't you change
You're embarrassing
the
picture. Mike, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Sorry for that picture here. Jamie's just embarrassing us with a stupid-ass picture.
Somebody needs to change that.
What the hell?
No, I think it looks good.
You're like, who the hell are these jokers calling us? Jesus.
There's definitely no beer involved in that picture.
Was that the Christmas party?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, anyway. Mike, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Good, yeah. Sean's going to join us as well, so let me add him to the call if I can.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, so we got Mike and Sean on from Heartland Bowhunter. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Man. You guys, listen, I want to say hats off to you guys. We just watched about, I don't know, we did an intro for this podcast and we were talking about it for a while, but just some of the clips are just absolutely amazing. And I know you guys know that you created them, but mentally, I guess, how do you go into doing a film, like any of your films? Like what's the mindset when you go into that? Is it like B-roll, or is it like, okay, let's just get the hit first, then B-roll?
Yeah, we're always shooting. We're always trying to get as much B-roll live as we possibly can, just because, you know, we've gone the route where, you know, you wait till we get a kill or something like that and then go back and shoot everything, and it's just not as authentic. So we found that it's way better to have an abundance of footage and stuff to actually tell an authentic and real story beforehand, rather than to go back and shoot it all again.
Yeah, for sure. And so when you're filming like that, I would assume, and this is just my assumption, but you know, once in a while I'll record with, like, let's say, I mean, most people on the phone probably won't know, like, some of the terminology we'll use here, but like a Shogun or something that's shooting 4K RAW. You know, in those files, I'll film something that's, like, literally a couple minutes, and it's, like, gigabytes. So I'm assuming you guys are filming in, like, some sort of RAW, and you're using very large format cards.
Yeah, it depends on the camera, obviously. But yeah, I mean, we film a lot with the Red Dragon that shoots up to 6K, and those things are just ridiculous. I mean, just the card and the camera is like 512 gigs. But the good news is all that stuff's coming down in price. You know, as resolution goes up in the cameras, the price of media is going down. So, and obviously, we're not shooting everything in 6K and or 4K even all the time. You know, we shoot a lot of stuff in HD still. You know, I mean, it's going to be a long time before TV is broadcasted in 4K, if ever. So, but it is nice to have the additional resolution, and you know, you could just get a higher image quality out of it.
So, when we talk about like a lower end camera for you guys, like what would that be? Like a FS7? Like what would you consider? Like, oh, we'll just grab the FS7 for these shots.
Yeah, we have several of those, and FS700. We have some FS700s as well. And then we shoot on DSLRs a little bit too. They have really good quality for what they are, and they're small and portable, and they're pretty handy. They don't have the dynamic range, you know, as the big cameras, but I mean, we have a bunch of different cameras. So.
Now, did you guys go to school for this, or how did you guys learn to do that side of the business?
No, we both actually are entrepreneurship majors, and it was during college that we kind of really gained traction on the camera side, but we have absolutely no education as far as on paper about cameras or anything. We're all self-taught, so
very cool.
That's awesome.
I pride myself on everything I've done here with being self-taught, and that was hard to do for the Final Cut stuff and learning how to use those programs inside out. Some of the people I know in the industry who are doing more like After Effects and stuff is pretty impressive, you know, where they can move things or take something and put it, you know, put a map and put like a dot on it and circle it, you know, all digitally. Is pretty sweet. But yeah, this stuff is just incredible, man. And I think when you look at cameras nowadays, and I think a lot of people go out there and film, you know, with normal cheaper cameras, and that's okay. You know, everybody's got their place in what they're doing. Obviously, there's a ton of stuff on YouTube and things like that. But I do want to say that, you know, when you look at production quality, I want to say you guys are literally at the very top of this list. And I know you guys might be humble and say no, but the truth is, I would honestly say that you guys are pretty much there. I haven't seen anything better. And what I was saying earlier in the podcast is that I'm surprised you guys aren't really more into like real movie cinema stuff, because you obviously have the talent for it. You know what I'm saying? Like Discovery Channel type stuff.
We've done, you know, we own our own production company and do all of our stuff in house, and so you know, we do a handful of work, you know, inside the industry from a commercial standpoint and outside the industry. anymore, you know, just between, you know, producing three different TV shows and then, you know, us being a part of the shows and traveling and filming, it's just, you know, a matter of time. And obviously hunting and the outdoors is our passion, so that's kind of what we kind of focus on. But you know, I mean, you were talking about cameras and stuff, and you know, having expensive cameras, the nicest cameras, and having, you know, super high-end stuff is really nice for, you know, producing you know, quality content. But at the end of the day, it's not about what it's shot with as much as it is how it's shot and, yeah, and how the story's told. I'm sure you guys have seen, you know, there's guys out there that are professional iPhone. You know, they put
yeah, right. We've talked about that actually before on some of these podcasts.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, and like you know, I mean, you could tell the resolution may not be there, but I mean, but it's still solid, really well creative, put together. I mean, so you know, you don't have to go drop thousands of dollars to, you know, to get started in filming and put together productions. I mean, we were kind of the opposite. I mean, we were really on a shoestring budget and trying to create a big production feel, you know, on a smaller budget. And it was kind of nice, kind of forced us to really think outside the box and really, you know, utilize what equipment we did have and make the most of it.
So what, so for the show itself, what is this your, did I read that this is your ninth season?
No, we're actually, we're on our 10th now. Well, our 10th, I guess you're right. So yeah, we've produced 9 and we're about to release our 10th season.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
10 years. We've been doing it
Yeah, it's hard for us to believe still. I mean, Sean and I still remember some of those early days, the first couple of years that Sean and I got on video, and us just kind of filming for fun to kind of share with our friends and family, and then just literally like, man, like we could do something cool. Like, there's just really a good opportunity to really produce tell a story, you know, about the bow hunting lifestyle and more about, you know, everything about it, because at the time it was a lot of shows that were just kind of, you know, just highlight kill reels basically with rock and roll music. And, you know, while a lot of people like to enjoy and see that, like, that's not what hunting's about. And if you hunt enough, especially if you bow hunt, you know that for a fact. And,
yeah.
And so it was, you know, neat for us to have the opportunity to kind of come out with a show that was kind of a different format and kind of showed a little bit more about our lifestyle and why we do what we do.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, man. I know you guys and I, we've crossed paths with doing stuff with Bowtech together and at the ATA and things like that. Tell us about like that and how your, you know, having the sponsorship has helped you guys. Is it like with not just Bowtech, but I mean like having those brands help you guys? Are they? Does it usually more like, you know, promotional pieces, like you guys are working with them on their commercials and stuff, or is it just really you're just hunting? You know what I mean? Like, is it like a full encompassing deals and stuff? Like,
it all depends on every sponsorship's a little bit different. But I mean, yeah, I mean, sponsorships are, you know, what you know, pay our bills. That's how we are able to do what we do. And you know, when we got started, that was one of the things that people were just really hard selling, just like cramming products down your throat. And
yeah,
and people don't want that. They don't want, you know, they don't want people saying like, oh, I never would have killed this deer if it wasn't for my Bowtech bow. Like.
Yeah,
like people understand that, you know, that we're going to use. I mean, as much as we hunt, Sean and I spend so many, you know, so many days a year in the field that, you know, we hunt so much that we're going to want to have the best stuff. So if we're using something and we truly believe in it and are confident in it, you know, that message is going to come across. So there's no need for us to try to cram it down people's throats.
Sure.
So that was one reason why our show was well received out of the gate and was a little bit different. And but I mean, yeah, every relationship with every sponsor is different, you know, from a TV deal to, you know, a digital deal to where we'll produce some, you know, commercials or short films or whatever it is. You know, we try to make it work and make it a win-win for us and our sponsors.
So speaking of that, which Bowtech bow are you guys using right now?
We're both shooting the Rain 7.
Nice.
We just got them in Realtree Canada. Like, what, 2 weeks ago? So yeah, we're shooting the Rain, and that thing's incredible. It's amazing how, I mean, like every year you get a new one, and it's just the technology is always changing in it. It's like, what are they going to think of next? I mean, gosh.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. We do it here at Tesla. We pretty much test all the new bows, and it is incredible to see it from the whole industry perspective, the different things these companies come up with, man. I mean, it's like constant, you know, and it's really cool. I'm really happy that they're all doing new and innovations each year. And I mean, that's what we want, right? As consumers, yeah. Even, you know, forget the shows, right? And all of the stuff we do as a consumer, you want to go to the store and have a new product and new ideas, new technology. It just makes sense. I mean, okay, let's talk a little bit about where you guys are airing, because you guys are like all over the place. So I know there's Outdoor Channel, but I know there's, I think, Carbon TV too. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we obviously our show season 10 will be premiering here at the end of June, and that'll be on Outdoor Channel. So the new content is coming third and fourth quarter, mainly third quarter. But so we'll run 13 original episodes for that third and fourth quarter for TV. And then we also we do a lot of stuff on the digital side of things. We do two miniseries, Full Strut, which is airing right now on Carbon TV. We're releasing a new episode each week, which is basically a mini episode of HB. So, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes typically. And Full Strut's all turkey hunting. And then we have another miniseries that will air in the fall that is called Behind the Draw on Carbon TV. And both those you can watch for free. Free there, and in each series we're producing 10 videos for each series, so quite a bit of content. And you know, they're just mini episodes. It's really nice for people that, you know, that don't have Outdoor Channel, or that people that just want to watch little short versions on the go. So you know, between those two mini series and then the TV show on Outdoor Channel, and then now actually we're getting ready to launch all of our old library content. So season 1 through 9 of our show, everything will be available through Outdoor Channel's digital service, which is My Outdoor TV. So if you can subscribe to that, you can have access to all the old seasons of almost every Outdoor Channel show that there is.
This is incredible, man. Yeah. You guys, cool. When it comes to stuff like this, and I don't know, you know, I'm asking because I really don't know the answer, but for a show like yours, are companies like Outdoor Channel seeking you, or how does that work?
It's a time buy model. So the way it works for, I would say, 80 to 90% of producers, is that we pay the network for the airtime, and then we sell the commercial inventory to our sponsors. There are some shows that are network owned. So, you know, different depending on, you know, the show and the fit, and there are some shows that the networks invest in, and they own those shows, and so they will. You know, they will, you know, outsource the production to a different production company or whoever it might be, but they kind of control and own the show. So
gotcha.
There's a lot of different arrangements, and kind of depends on the situation.
So what's can you guys tell us kind of a, you know, like, what was your best hunt last year, your favorite hunt, I guess, one that you remember that you're like, man, that was awesome? And you know, I guess for each of you guys, what would be one that you remember from last year that was like your top hunt?
And my top hunt this year was actually late season with my dad. I spent a lot of time filming him as much as I can throughout the year, and there was a deer that we'd had quite a bit of history with over the past couple years. And you know, we were hunting standing beans after a cold, following a cold front with some snow, and we weren't actually hunting this particular deer, but he showed up in this field, and it's the biggest buck that my dad's taken to date. It'll be on season 10. I'm trying to think if it's I think it's episode 12. But the deer's name was M10, short for mineral 10. We used to always get pictures of him on this mineral lick in the center of the farm. And so I just named him M10 when he was a 2-year-old. And so he ended up killing him at five years old. And yeah, his biggest deer to date. So that was one of the coolest hunts I've actually ever been on. So cool. I'd say that's probably the top of my list.
Yeah, that was definitely a cool hunt. My favorite hunt from last year was for a buck that we call Chubbs, and it was a deer that I just had a lot of history with. He was 7 years old this year, and I've had so many encounters with him and just could not get the deal done. He jumped the string on me 2 different times, and I misjudged the yardage one time when he was 4 and just nicked the top of his back. And then he jumped the string on me when he was 6 years old, and I hit him high almost in the same spot. I just couldn't get lucky, couldn't catch up with him. And this year, finally, I sealed the deal on a buck that, you know, I don't know, he probably scores mid-30s maybe. Not a real high-scoring buck by any means, but seriously, like, one of my favorite hunts of all time. I mean, he means more to me than my biggest deer I've ever killed with a bow. I mean, he was just one of those deer that we built so much history with, and anymore, that's the ones that mean the most. Just like Sean's dad's buck. I mean, that that deer, we didn't have quite the amount of history, but, you know, being that it was a little bit newer property, but still had, you know, several, three or four years of history with them. So, you know, that when you have that history and you kind of build up those stories, that's kind of the best, mm-hmm. best of both worlds.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And I, you know, for us, it's always, when I started Boner Plant back in 2009, it was really, a library concept to really for my friends and family to, like, we could record hunts and just, you know, save them so you could go back years later and watch them,
relive them,
you know, and enjoy those memories. And we still do, actually. And then the videos aren't like these videos, but they're fine. They're, you know, they're ours, right? And that's what makes them great.
A little bit smaller bucks, maybe.
But this is amazing for you guys, because not only are you capturing it, but you're also sharing it with the world on TV and, you know, the internet. It's pretty sweet, and the quality is just absolutely mind-blowing. When, you know, later in life when you're super old, you're people be able to look back and see this stuff so crystal clear in like 6K. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome. When I can already, you know, we're just now working on the 10th season. We're putting together our intro, and last year we actually had our 100th episode, where we did like a 100th episode special as we kind of looked back over the years. And just for just 10 years, it's amazing how much stuff's changed and how much we have changed and how much our hunting styles have changed. And just being able to look back 10 years is incredible. I can't imagine, you know, in another 10 years being able to look back and, you know, when we have, you know, our kids are grown and start hunting with us, to be able to kind of show them some of those funny videos of Sean and I when we were literally, you know, just out of high school, or just actually in high school, you know, hunting.
When you guys when you guys first started, did you do a lot of self-filming, or did you guys film for each other, or, and what do you guys do now? Do you have a cameraman that follows you around all the time, or how has it changed?
I never filmed myself starting out, and I think kind of the reason that I got into filming was because filming our hunts was because of Mike, and we just started hunting together and filming it, and I don't know, I can't speak for him, but we started filming together, and then from there, I don't know, I think we've had camera guys for each other for the past 2 or 3 years now, and we still hunt together here and there. Like next week we're going to Texas, and it'll just be Mike and I, so we'll film each other on that. We're just going to go shoot some axis deer and some hogs. I've never done that before, so
cool.
It just depends, but yeah, it's definitely, it's changed a lot.
When you guys film, like when you're filming a hunt, I'm looking at some of the, you know, deer stuff you guys have on here. It's pretty amazing. But do you normally, like, what kind of millimeter lens are you guys using for some of these?
We use just a handful of lenses. We've got, you know, a 16 to 35 for a lot of our wide angle shots. And then we'll use a 24 to 105 or 24 to 70. And then we have a 70 to 200 millimeter and then a 100 to 400 millimeter. It just depends on where we're at, and yeah, you know, like if we need a long lens for a long range shot, or you know, if everything's just gonna be closer.
Are you usually like changing lenses while you're hunting?
We change sometimes. Yep.
Just curious. That's a lot to carry out. That's why I was asking. Carry
stuff out there. It gets pretty ridiculous. Especially, actually, I think we carry the most stuff when we're turkey hunting. It's tough.
Have you guys played around with 360 video yet?
No, we haven't. Just curious. Yet. But no, Garmin just came out with that 360 Verb, and like just a couple days ago. But I'm anxious to get one of those and test them out. But
yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be cool to be able to look around. We actually just got one too. It's like a little one, but it's we've been testing it. It's pretty funny because like it stitches itself together through its own software, so it's not nothing like, you know, the software that I use Final Cut a lot, and you guys I'm sure use Adobe or Final Cut or something, but it doesn't really go through those programs. Well, the one we're looking at, the Samsung one, we're using this little cheapy one, but it doesn't go through those programs, so I had to like stitch it together with this like offshoot, you know, Samsung program for Windows. It was kind of horrible, and I'm so used to using a Mac, so I'm like, oh my gosh. But quality was okay. And it was cool that when you're on YouTube, though, you can, like, actually move it around, you know. It's kind of neat to see. I played with the kids in basketball. I could watch them, you know, watch myself pass it and flip it around. And pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of play with them and see, you know, see. I'm sure it'll be a little while before they get all the technology really dialed in and stuff. But, you know, from a perspective of just action camera stuff, I think it's great.
Yeah, the action cams have come a long way, man. I mean, Garmin's come a long way with theirs. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where they do have their place in different spots. I mean, there was, and we do a lot of self-filming in our video. Like I said, it's more YouTube type video, but it's a lot of self-filming. So what we do a lot of times is we'll do like a, you know, a GoPro 360 on a tree. We'll put them all the way around with a remote control. So when the deer does come in, you have a main cam and then you turn on all your GoPro so you can get all the action stuff running away or whatever. And to be honest with you, that has a lot to do with pride, because these guys here have a hard time hunting with people. Get out of here. I'm going to bring scent. And, da, da, da. And it's like we're in Michigan, for God's sake. It's not like we're shooting monster bucks or anything. It's so funny. But, yeah, man, this stuff's really cool. And, hey, you know, is there anything else you guys want to add to the podcast before we go?
Anybody who's listening to this is going to be in the Kansas City area on June 10th. We're doing our second annual Heartland premiere. So we're doing a premiere event for Heartland Bowhunter and Heartland Waterfowl, our sister show. And we do it at a big venue in Kansas City, holds like 1,600 people, and it's a free event. And so people can come and watch, get a sneak peek of a couple different episodes of one of HB and one of HW. It's a pretty fun, pretty cool event. And we always do it every year locally. So it's going to be in the Kansas City area. Or if you feel like traveling, come on down June 10th, the Uptown Theater in Kansas City.
Awesome, man. Yeah, and like I said, if you guys are ever in Michigan, we'd love to have you stop by our studio and hang out, have a couple beers or something, and, you know, talk hunting, man. That's what it's all about,
tie
right?
Some big bucks. Tie us up some giant Michigan bucks up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. I get you a doe. Not because I don't want to get you a buck, but I don't even know where they're at.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, well, yeah, when he says a couple, we're talking 120s. We're not talking, well, maybe we got one big one out there, but... Yeah. Who knows? But hey, check out heartlandbowhunter.com. And if you haven't seen this show, you guys are definitely missing out. You have to check this out. The quality is absolutely incredible. Mike, Sean, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you guys' time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast, online at bowhunterplanet.com with your host, Team BHP. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.